So as Krishna began his teachings in chapter 2, he gave an overview of all of the philosophy in the content summarized. And this is the symptom of someone who is a good speaker or a good writer. He, in the beginning, he tells you what he's about to tell you. And then he tells you. And then at the end, he tells you what he told you. And he's going to summarize everything again, so everything's very clear. This is how teachers, and even when we're giving Bhagavatam classes, is our general approach. So it's so all of the points are very clear in everyone's mind. Actually, we see a lot of devotees don't do that, so then it's not clear what the whole class was about. It just kind of goes here and there and there. Now this is not the proper way. Krishna is the best preacher and the best, it's not a book in the sense this is just a conversation. But Prabhupada also does that. So we can see this is the, his presentation is also very organized like this. So we'll study the first 12 verses this morning. Or tonight. Sun's about ready to go down. Okay. Ajuna vacha sanyasasya mahabaho tatpamichami veditum tyagasya charishikesha pratakeshini sunana. Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyas. O kill of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. So, here, Arjuna is asking this question to clarify these two major topics of the Bhagavad Gita, sannyas and tyag. And here he calls Krishna three different names in this verse, which is somewhat unusual. There are other verses like this. So that all the commentators, Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, they comment on the different names and what is the connotation. What's Arjuna's mood in speaking these things? So basically he's asking, are these things the same or are they different? And if they have different meanings, then please tell me what those meanings are. Baladeva Vidyabhushan gives a more elaborate description. He says Arjuna was still unclear about the Lord's meanings of the verses 5.13 and 4.20 when he used these words, tyag and sannyas. You can look at those later, maybe. And so Arjuna asked, do they have different meanings, like a mountain and tree, which are completely different? Or do they have congruous meanings, which are similar, like Kurus and Pandavas? And if they're completely different, then please tell me those. If they have separate meanings, then tell me what they are. And if there's some slight difference, some superficial distinction, then also let me know what that is. And so Arjuna just wants to clarify these provinces, two distinct subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita. And the words, Mahabaho, is interesting. Arjuna is glorifying Krishna as Mahabaho. Arjuna is also called Mahabaho because he also is a Kshatriya and he's very powerful. And because they're friends, they call each other Mahabaho. Glorify one another. And here Arjuna is saying, you are the great Mahabaho, and I am the small Mahabaho. Thus we are friends. And you are great not only in your arms, but you're omniscient. But I don't have that. I'm not omniscient. I don't have your knowledge. You're Sarvagya, and I'm Alpagya. You have all knowledge, and I have a little bit of knowledge. So you can enlighten me about these two topics, sannyasa and tyaga. And Rishikesh means control of the senses. So he says, you are Rishikesh, you're the controller, especially of my intelligence. So you controlling my intelligence, you also have brought this doubt into my intelligence. You have created this doubt, and you can dispel this doubt. You can enliven and awaken my intelligence to destroy this doubt. Because you are Keshi Sudan, you are the killer of great demons like the Keshi demon. And I believe it's Baladeva Vibhushan, he comments, oh, actually all of them comment, Vishwanath and Sridhar Swami, that in Vrindavan, the Keshi demon assumed the form of a huge, terrible horse. And as he was madly rushing towards Krishna with his mouth wide open to devour him, Krishna immediately thrust his left arm into his mouth, and then which gave the demon great pain, because it felt to him like a hot iron rod. And then Krishna's arm began to inflate within the horse's throat. And in this way he killed the Keshi demon very easily, just like a child breaks a cucumber. So similarly, you can destroy or break this doubt as easily as you killed the Keshi demon, just like a child plays with a toy. Now, Prabhupada comments here. Actually, the Gita is finished in 17 chapters. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed before. In every chapter of the Gita, Lord Krishna stressed that bhakti unto the Lord is the ultimate goal of life. This same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. That comes later. In the first six chapters, stress was given to devotional service, yoganam abhisarvesham. In the next six chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. And in the third six chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature and transcendental nature and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by Om Tat Sat, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. The third part of Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life. This has been established by citing past acharyas and Brahma Sutra. Certain impersonalists consider themselves to have a monopoly on the Vedanta Sutra, but actually Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding bhakti and the Lord Himself. This is described in the 15th chapter. Next paragraph. As in the second chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described. In the 18th chapter, also the summary of all instruction is given. Last paragraph. Two words used in this verse to address the Supreme Lord, Rishikesh and Keshi Nishudan, are significant. Rishikesh is Krishna, the master of all senses, who can always help us attain mental serenity. Arjuna requests him to summarize everything in such a way that he can remain equipoised. Yet he has some doubts, and doubts are always compared to demons. He therefore addresses Krishna as Keshi Nishudan. Keshi was the most formidable demon who was killed by the Lord. Now Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill the demon of doubt. So Prabhupada summarizes nicely all of the acharyas' more esoteric points, maybe you could say. So the question is posed. What are these two things? Tattvam ittami veditum. I want to know what are these, the truth. I want to know the tattva of these two words, sannyas and tyag. And it says, pratak, are they different? Or are they the same? Or are they slightly different? Text 2. Now Krishna begins to answer the question. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Tam Yanam Karmanam Yasam Sanyasam Gavayo Viduhu Sarva Karma Phalatyagam Prahustyagam Vichakshanaha. Supreme Personality of God had said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation. So, according to this verse quoted by the Supreme Lord, are these two items different, the same, or slightly different? What's the difference? Sannyas means giving up material activity, and tyaga means giving up the fruits of the activity. This is the general connotation of these two words, understood by the great sages and various rishis. So, yes, that's true. So, sannyas represents jnana yoga, and tyag represents nishkam karma yoga, giving up the fruits of one's work. So now you can see that this is the summary of the entire Gita. Because Arjuna was always wondering about these. Should I go to the forest and do sannyas, jnana yoga? Or should I do my duties and do karma yoga? Krishna was always telling him to do karma yoga. So again, this is the same conclusion. But this is Krishna's giving other people. He says, pichakshana. That these learned persons are describing this, the experienced. Vichakshana is also the name of Krishna's parrot. It means learned. Daksha and Vichakshana. And he has two parrots that fly around Braj and spy on Srimati Radharani and the gopis wherever they go. And then they fly back and they tell Krishna where the gopis are. So, but this Vichakshana just means intelligent man. And Kavayo Vidu, the great pandits, the Kavis. Okay. Now Krishna gives more opinions. Yes? Comment? But under her control. But Daksha and Vichakshana, they're male parents. Now Krishna's like, they're favoring Krishna, and Shubha and Shukshmadi are female parents, they're favoring Srimati Radharani. And when they wake up in the morning, they glorify them, and they wake them up. Text number 3. Pyajam dosha varatyeke karma praur manishinaha jagyadam tapakarma na pyajam iti chapane. Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activity should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance should never be abandoned. So here the acharyas reveal that Krishna is referring to the Sankhyites in the first half of the verse. These are some learned men. And those Sankhyites, they say that one should just renounce all of these fruitive activities. They're faulty, especially karmakandiya activities, particularly because you have to kill animals. But in general, they're considered to be fruitive and selfish. So therefore, those who are leaning towards jnana or Sankhya, those who are ascetics, they just condemn these and say they give them up. They're just given in the Karmakanda section of the Shrutis, and one should just take the Upanishadic sections of the Shrutis and do Jnana Yoga and give up all of these lower things. But the others, Chapare, Apare, means the other sages, they're Karma Mimamsakas. So those persons follow the path of Karma. And because they recognize that people are humans, they have desires, and they have to gradually give them up. They should perform these activities even though they're doing it with some fruitive intent, because they get gradual purification. And anyway, they're given in the Vedas, and the Vedas come from God, so they shouldn't be given up. So that's their argument, which is a sound argument. So they both have their both viewpoints, Sankhyites and Karma Mimamsakas, or the Gyanis and the Karmis. So you have two different sides of the coin. So Krishna's quote. That's why Prabhupada, he quotes about animal killing, the whole purport's about animal killing. Because the Sankhyites, they say that this is one of the main faults of these yagyas in the Shrutis. You know, offering the horse and the cow and all of these things. It's a dirty, bloody. There's so much karma there. They don't want to get involved with this. Try to avoid karma. Maybe you remember conversations with Dr. Patel, with Srila Prabhupada and Juhu on the beach. And I believe it was the doctor or maybe one other member of the group that were walking on the beach. And he was saying that that this meat eating should be abandoned and no one should eat meat. But Prabhupada was saying, no, in the Vedas it says that one can eat meat if he performs yajna, if he does it in the prescribed way, according to the Vedas. Said, but this is, and then the doctor said, but this is violent and it's very bad and there's karma and killing the poor animal, where's the compassion? But Prabhupada stood his ground and he said, but in the Vedas it says this, that this sacrifice can be performed by those people who are of such mentality. And they're going to perform it anyway. So we should keep this principle. The meat eating should be allowed in society for those lower class people. But they have to do it according to the Vedas. And the doctor said, no, we should stop all of these things. No! Vedas, we must follow! Cannot give up following the Vedas. So it's similar to the Karma Mimamsa, because they also say the same thing. So now, Krishna, he introduces that he's about to give his opinion. Nishchayam shrinu me tatra tyage bharata saptama tyago hi purusha vyagra trivida samprikirtita. O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds. So nishchayam shrinu me tatra. So now you listen to me. Tyage, about renunciation. Bharata Saptama, O best of the Bharatas. So you're coming in this great line, and you're the best of the Bharatas. And not only that, you're Purusha Vyagra, you're a tiger. And a tiger is courageous and very intelligent. So you're also very intelligent and brave, so you'll be able to understand this philosophy very easily, without much difficulty. So, in the scriptures it's mentioned that there's three kinds of tyag. And this is based on the three modes of nature. These are described in verses 7 to 12, which we're just about to approach. Three kinds of tyag. Alright, so now Krishna gives his description here. Oh yeah, there's a funny something in the commentaries I remember. Arjun says, I asked you the difference between sannyas and tyag, and your answer is that there's three kinds of tyag. You know, what's going on here? Right? And then Krishna says, no, just relax. I will tell you definitively. Now just listen, I will explain everything. So now Krishna explains. Jagyadana tapa karma natyajam karyam eva tat jagyadanam tapasyaiva pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. So this is Krishna's opinion, and similar to the Karma Mimamsaka's opinion. And he says, these three things, yajna, dana, and tapa, na tyajam, you should not give them up. And not only that, but karyam eva tat, you should do that. Not only should you not give it up, but you should perform it. Why? Pavanani manishinam. Because these things purify even great souls. There's two reasons why one would do these. One is to set a good example, and the other is to purify oneself. So Krishna is stressing purification in this verse. And Prabhupada comments about sacrifice and not giving up sacrifice. He says, the yogi should perform acts for the advancement of human society. There are many purificatory processes for advancing a human being to spiritual life. The marriage ceremony, for example, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called Vivaha Yajna. Then he asks a question. Should a sannyasi encourage or perform this marriage ceremony? And he says, he answers, the Lord says that any sacrifice which is meant for human welfare should never be given up. Vivaha Yajna is meant to regulate the human mind so that it may become peaceful, so you can meditate on Krishna. For most men, this Vivaha Yajna should be encouraged, even by persons in the renounced order of life. So Prabhupada said it many years ago. Why we didn't follow it is another thing. Sannyasis should never associate with women, but that does not mean that one who is in the lower stages of life, a young man, should not accept a wife in the marriage ceremony. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up. Similarly, charities for the purification of the heart. If charity is given to suitable persons, as described previously, it leads one to advance spiritual life. So, I guess we could get into a kind of social history of ISKCON sannyasis, and but that'll just confuse our minds and deviate us from the path of pure philosophy. But here we see that Prabhupada has a very clear realization about this point, about yajna, and how it should not be given up. It's purifying for people, so it should be performed. And he says that for most men, this should be encouraged even by sannyasis. Although the sannyasis, you see, the sannyasis are truly situated in renunciation. They can very happily and, you know, calmly recommend a person to get married. But if the person's insecure and he's forcing himself artificially in a renounced position, then he may want to push other people into that position, you know, suffering loves company. And if someone is, you know, not really renounced, then he may actually, you know, kind of be envious of people who are getting married or something. There may be all kinds of weird things like this in the person's mind. But someone's really renounced, then if he sees if someone's in a lower stage and he's actually attached, then he can see that it's for the person's benefit, and then he'll go through the ashram, get some realization, and then come out purified. So this is Krishna's opinion. Balaji Vidyabhushan comments that these activities, yajna, dana, and karma, are just like the stem of a lotus flower. The whole idea is that we don't give up work or activities, but we give up work only on the subtle platform, meaning that we give up the fruits of the work or the enjoying mentality, the fruitive mentality of that work. Okay, text 6. Itanya pita karmani sangam chakva phalani cha kartavyanitime parta nischitam matam uttamam. All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O son of Pritam. That is my final opinion, matam uttamam, or my ultimate, highest opinion. So, sangam means association. Sangam tyakva phalani. One has to give up this enjoying mentality. This is the internal renunciation Krishna is recommending here. Because activity in and of itself is neither good nor bad, but it depends on your mentality, how you perform that activity. You know, if someone has a knife, he can use it to cut vegetables and feed people, or he can use it to kill somebody. So work is like that too, or like money. It can be used in a good way or in a bad way. So the work itself, or the activity, is neither good or bad. But it can be performed in a very purifying way, and that's called Nishkam Karma Yoga. So sannyasis can also do activities, perform work in a sacrificial mood, and it's purifying for them. Mana pavana ni manishinam. So there's two levels of renunciation. One is to give up the fruits of the work, and then the higher one is to give up the work itself. When one is more renounced, then he actually gives up all activities and comes to Jnana Yoga. So Krishna is stressing the first level as important. So he's stressing first the substance, and then later the form will come. Substance is more important than form. So internal renunciation is more important than just taking the fourth order of life. As Krishna said in chapter 6, Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karutiya sa sannyasi cha yogisha nanyanagnya nanchakriya. Someone who actually renounces the enjoying mentality, the fruit of mentality in performing his duties, he is a sannyasi. Not someone who just gives up his activities or his work and takes this order of life. Of course, if one, like for us, if we actually are renounced, if we're grihasthas or brahmacharis and we're doing our work out of duty, and for a long time we get purified, and then we develop true renunciation in heart. And then for us, it doesn't matter so much the different activities that we perform, but we do them to please the Lord in a very renounced way. And then gradually we do take that order. We come to that platform. First, the internal. In the past, everyone wanted to jump to the external, to the second level of renunciation without the substance. They just wanted the form, you know, the danda. And the whole reason was because they wanted to enjoy. I want to be a sannyasi so I can enjoy. And then what happens? They just fall down. Or I want to be a grihastha, actually anything you do. I want to be a grihastha so I can enjoy. And if you enter in that ashram and with that mentality, you also fall down. And you have a broken marriage, then you'll end up taking care of four kids all by yourself. And your wife will run off with someone else. And you'll end up, well, I wanted to enjoy, now I've got to take care of these four babies. Yeah. I've seen it. It's happened to any man. Or I want to be a brahmachari so I can travel and enjoy and be free. But then the same thing will happen. So the enjoying mentality, that's the thing that has to be given up. Once we're situated in our ashram or varna, then we just perform it dutifully in the mode of goodness. And then that purifies us. That by doing, acting on our own level, on our station, then that it purifies us and it qualifies us to come up to the next level, to the next higher level. So one performs his worldly duties and cultivates detachment within his heart, then gradually he will come up to the next level in his renunciation. Prabhupada comments that sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up, But sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged, no matter what level it's on. If a person's going in the right direction towards Krishna, then we should encourage them, no matter how low on the scale it may be. And this way, we'll have unity and diversity in our movement, because people will be at different levels, but they'll all feel encouraged, because they will be encouraged by all of us, all of the leaders, and everybody will be on different levels of renunciation. Some will be very attached, some will be a little attached, some will be neutral, some will be detached, some will be very detached. But they'll all feel like part of the team, part of the ISKCON family, if we use this principle and just encourage people. Yes, you're doing good, you just continue. You're also, it's not that, oh, you're a third class member. You know, people, they can't deal with that. They won't feel encouraged. You're not really a devotee, you're just a congregational member. You know, something like this or whatever. So we have to encourage everybody to come up. Okay, text 7. Niyatasya tu sanyasa karmano nupapadyate mohatasya parityagas tamasa parikirtita. Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So here now Krishna is describing the three kinds of renunciates. And here the tamagun sannyasi is being described. The tamaguni renunciate. So here he says that the person gives up his prescribed duties because of moha, or illusion. He thinks that these things are bad for me, I should give them up. He may need to get married, but he thinks, oh, this is bad for me, I shouldn't do this. Or even worse, if he gets married, then he thinks that this is bad for me to do all of this hard work and, you know, material activities, and I'll just give this up. Or, you know, a brahmachari may think, oh, this is, you know, this waking up early, this is bad for me, taking a shower in the morning. This is not going to help me in my spiritual life. Coming to the temple and, you know, whatever. So if someone thinks that his prescribed duties are bad, this illusion, and that just creates further illusion. This is not this renunciation of the mode of ignorance. And Krishna says, I already told you in the third chapter, Arjuna, that work is better than renunciation. So why is it called tamasa renunciation? Because the result will be more ignorance. He'll lose his knowledge and that he has, and he'll still try to fulfill his desires either in a devious or in a cheating way, because he's in the fourth order of life. He's taken that high order of life, although he's not qualified, and based on illusion. So he'll try to fulfill his desires in a cheating way, in a devious way. And this will create more ignorance. Prabhupada again mentions the sannyasi performing the marriage ceremony. Sannyasi is cooking for themselves. And then this. Okay. Also, another interesting point in this verse, you'll notice that maybe when you read this, you were looking for Krishna's answer to the question, right? Did any of you find what Krishna's answer was? Huh? Okay, but are the sannyas tyag the same or different? Huh? No, not the same. So Krishna doesn't overtly answer the question, but in verses 7 and 12, he subtly answers the question by using the terms interchangeably in the verse. Yeah? In other words, I will try to explain. Niyatasya tu sanyasya karmano novabhajyate mohatasya parityagas tamasa parikirtita. Now, if you were, so the word sannyas and parityaga are being used. And tyaga is, and parityaga are the same. So, prescribed duties should never be sannyased. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such tyag is in the mode of ignorance. You understand? That's the way he's using the words indicates that they're the same. And he does that again in the 12th verse. So actually, they're the same. They're not different. It's just there are two levels. One's internal, or the first level, and then the other one is the kind of external, or the second level. But they're the same thing. And Krishna recommends, you start from internal, because internal is more important than the external. Substance is more important than form. Renunciation of the enjoying fruit of mentality. Renouncing the fruits of the work. Continue to do the work. Because you can renounce the work and still have an enjoying mentality. You can take sannyas with enjoying mentality. And then he lasts about 3 to 5 years, and boom. Right? Hundreds of examples. I need to elaborate any further. So better to work on the internal stuff first, and then later, when it actually becomes concrete, then you go forward. So you proceed gradually on the path of renunciation. In our movement, the social pressure was that everyone wanted to be a sannyasi. They were all hounding Prabhupada to take sannyas. And Prabhupada said, what do they all want to take sannyas for? And I think it was Harisari explained, well, they don't want to, then they can tell everyone else what to do. And they don't have to be controlled by anyone. And they get a lot of mahaprasad. And that's how it was too. The sannyasi were enjoying like anything. Remember, I think I told you these stories. And the president here came to Prabhupada and said, the sannyasis, they're eating all the maha, and there's no maha left for the other devotees. Prabhupada said, really? He said, yes. And the president said, is it good? He said, no. The president said, well, what should we do? Should we tell them to stop? Prabhupada thought for a moment and said, no, just tell them to chant Hare Krishna. And gradually they'll come to the realization that they shouldn't eat all the maha. It was like that. So, you can have an enjoying mentality in any ashram, and in every ashram it causes problems. It usually causes fall down if it's, severe. So that we got to give up the internal enjoying mood first, and that's what Krishna's recommending. And then the next thing is you renounce the material activities of the lower levels, dealing with varnashram, grihastha life, working in the world for fruit of enjoyment, independence, and so sannyasi means the person who's the most humble, the most knowledgeable, the most serving. He's the most serving others, taking care of others, helping others. That's the real sannyasi. Okay, now Rajagun sannyasis. Describe next text. Dukam ityeva yat karma kaya klesham bhayatyajit sakritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyaga phalam labhet. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort, said to have renounced in the mode of passion, such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. These are very important verses, actually. So here, Rajagun renunciate, he renounces his prescribed duties because dukkham, it caused him some distress or suffering, and kaya kalesha, some bodily discomfort, and bhaya, out of fear, from fear. It's in the ablative case, from fear. So he gives up these things, tyajat, because of these three reasons. And, you know, and the same thing, oh, waking up early, it's just pain in the neck, it's too troublesome. And taking a cold shower is just too much. And the grihastha may think, oh, all of this, you know, hard work and taking care of children and listening to the wife, and she's always nagging, and this drives me crazy. I'm going to just give up this stupid family life. Just get out of here. Just dump these family members. This is Rajagun Sannyas. But it's, the person's not going to become a sannyasi just because he's fried with his wife. He'll just end up in the arms of another woman in another place somewhere. And it'll be the same thing, part two. Because it's Rajagun Sannyas. Someone in the mode of goodness is described in the next verse. We'll mention what is his mentality, that he, no matter what is the bodily discomfort or he predicts there's some trouble, he just continues with his activities, his prescribed activities out of duty. That I know I should do this, it's good for me, and it'll purify. And there's some discomfort, anyway, no problem, just continue. That's the mode of goodness. Karyam iti vajit karma niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam chakva palam jaiva satyaga satviko mata. O Arjuna, when one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness. So Krishna said this in text 6 and now he's repeating it again. Prabhupada comments. Prescribed duties must be performed with this mentality. One should act without attachment for the result. He should be disassociated from the modes of work. A man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory does not associate himself with the work of the factory nor with the workers of the factory. He simply works for Krishna. And when he gives up the result for Krishna, he's acting transcendentally. So he's not trying to enjoy the activity, so therefore he doesn't get frustrated when enjoyment's not there or if there's some discomfort. He accepts that, yeah, there may be some discomfort, but anyway, I'm going to do it. That's the mode of goodness. Now someone might ask, what are the symptoms of one who is renouncing goodness? And Krishna answers that in text 10. Nadveshtya kushalam karma kushale nanusajate tyagi sattva samavishto meravi chinna samshay. The intelligent renouncer, situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. So the word akushalam, inauspicious, means that it may give some discomfort. But he doesn't care. He doesn't hate if there's some discomfort, and nor does he become attached if it's kushale, if it's kushi, or if it's not kushi. If it's comfortable or if it's uncomfortable, he doesn't. He just, tyagi sattva samavishto medavichina sangshaya. And he's intelligent, cuts off the doubt, he renounces. And he's samavishta, he's absorbed in doing his duty. Why? Because it's good for him. He knows it's good for him. He's situated in intelligence. He's not acting just on a selfish platform. Therefore, he has the determination, the dhriti, to continue on the activity. Just like studying Bhakti Shastra. Right? It's not so easy. You know, month after month after month, it's too extremely hot, then it's cold, and it's noisy, and it's crowded, kids playing all the time. You got to be very determined, I think, to go through the whole course, be a real yogi. Prabhupada comments, a person in Krishna consciousness or in the mode of goodness does not hate anyone or anything which troubles his body. He does work in the proper place and at the proper time without fearing the troublesome effects of his duty. Such a person situated in transcendence should be understood to be most intelligent and beyond all doubts in his activities. So one may say, alright, this is clear, but what if one forgets the favorable and the unfavorable and just renounces everything? What's wrong with that, Krishna? Krishna answers in text 11. Nahi deya vrita shaktum tyaktum karmanya sheshadaha yastu karma phalam tyagi satyagi tyabadhiyate. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities. But he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. So Krishna says, nahi, nahi. No, no, no. Don't try to give up all the activities, auspicious or inauspicious. You continue to do them. Just give up the karma, phala, the enjoying mentality of the fruits, fruit of mentality. That is a real renunciation. So in spiritual life one can advance regardless of the external situation. He may be in one ashram or another, in one country or another. He may have a male or female body or whatever. But there's no external thing which will actually stop his advancement in spiritual life. One just has to continue working and and to give up this enjoying mentality. Because misery is actually the result of struggling to be happy. Oddly enough, the more you struggle to be happy, the more you're miserable. And if you just kind of do your duties, then you continue, then you become satisfied. So our reaction to unfavorable situations is a key point. How we react to our uncomfortable situations. It's like in the beginning of ISKCON, as there are now, but especially then there were more uncomfortable, inauspicious, akushale situations. Just like we know in New York in the early days, Prabhupada asked the devotees to all go out and get jobs. And Satsarup went out and he got a job, and he was a social worker. And he went into the office with a suit and tie and a shaved head and tilak. And the first time people in the West ever saw the Hare Krishna, they saw him and they just completely slipped out. But he went there every day and he was working. Gradually, people just kind of accepted him. Although they always thought it was weird. And Guru Das and Tamal Krishna and Maharaj, they went to work in a Kodak factory. And I think Guru Das had some higher job, but Tamal Krishna had some job just kind of packing things in boxes and putting them on an assembly line all day long. So after a few weeks of that, what about going on Harinam? Maybe we can, beg for donations. So they went on Harinam, they brought out a conch shell, and they come back with $7. Wow, a lot of money. We do that every day, we'll be rich. They went out the next day, and then they got $15. Great. Wow, we can just give up working. Yeah. And every day they went on Harinam. Because Harinam is a higher activity, so Prabhupada said, yeah, okay, go out and do Harinam. But until, that time, they were, advised by Prabhupada, and they accepted that, okay, we have to do this work. Even though it was considered somewhat inauspicious, working in a Kodak factory. Again, another example in Fiji, we have the famous Punja brothers, Vasudev and, what's his name? Jagannath. And in the beginning, they had some shops. They were selling meat and magazines and cigarettes and things like this. And they were just coming to Krishna consciousness. in that time. And I forget, one of the leaders in Fiji, American devotee, he came to Prabhupada and he said, well, these men are, they're good men. They like Krishna consciousness. They're coming around. But, you know, they sell meat in their shops. What should we do? Should we just tell them to give that up? I said, no, it's all right. I mean, let them continue doing that, and then gradually they'll get realization, and on their own they'll give these things up. So, or Prabhupada himself, before he went to America, he was in Radha Damodar. He told some friends that he was willing to serve meat and wine to the students when he makes a student hostel. If they chant Hare Krishna, then they'll get purified. So inauspicious activities may be accepted sometimes in certain circumstances. But someone in the mode of goodness, he has a determination to transcend that. He's not disturbed about different circumstances. Prabhupada says that it's said in the Gita that one can never give up work at any time. Therefore, he who works for Krishna and does not enjoy the fruit of results, offers everything to Krishna, is actually a renouncer. There are many members of ISKCON who work very hard in their office or in factory in some other place, and whatever they earn, they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It's clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruits should be renounced. Okay, last verse now. Question may be posed that I don't understand. Krishna, work without fruits? How can you work without fruits? But fruits will always come somehow or other on their own. Regardless, somehow or other. So how will one act when the fruits come? And then Krishna answers this with text 12. Anishtam ishtam yisham cha chividam karmana palam bhavatya tyaginam pretya natu sanyasinam pachin. For one who is not renounced, the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy. So when someone's attached, then they get these three kinds of reactions. Anishtam, ishtam, mishram, cha. But for someone who is renounced from the enjoying mentality, then he doesn't have to suffer or enjoy a particular result like this. And this is renounce working. This is renunciation. And here the word pretya means after death. So how can one come to this platform of working without false ego? That is described in the next section. And we'll analyze that on Monday. So, are there any questions? If they're doing these Panchamahayagya in a renounced way, not trying to enjoy? Well, if they're performing direct activities of bhakti, they don't have to do Panchamahayagya, worshipping the devas and the pitris. Of course, they should study the Vedas, that's one of them. That's what we do also. And Manusya Yagya, Bhuta Yagya, hospitable to the other human beings, we should also do that in Krishna consciousness, and feeding living entities, we do that. I mean, we do forms of that in Krishna consciousness, but they're directly linked with Krishna, with prasadam and bhakti shastras like this. But if someone is not doing that, then he should perform these yagyas, these sacrificial performances. Because those are the ways that he becomes internally renounced, and those are the ways that he expresses his internal renunciation, by offering sacrifice and feeding others. And everyone has to study Vedas and doing some worship. It means that they spend time and money and, you know, to worship, to do some worship and sacrifice. So that's the way they develop their internal renunciation. That's the way they express their internal renunciation. It has to be some activities of expression. Otherwise, where are they going to give the money? When they get the results of their work, what do they do with it? They just throw it in the hole in the ground? There has to be some, you know, form of it being used. And that form is performing yajna. So the Pancha Mahajagya is performed by people in this order of life in the Grihastha Ashram, and when the person enters the higher, you know, the renounced order of life, then he doesn't have to do those things. His whole life is yajna. He's situated in Brahmanishta, situated in knowledge, Jnananishta. And his sacrificial activities take a different form, enlightening others with knowledge. No, we would just recommend that they chant Hare Krishna, worship Guru and Krishna. I mean, even Indian people, we would tell them to do the same thing. Or to speak of Westerners who don't usually have a tradition or attachment to worshiping Ganesh or Shiva or something like that. For an ashram, Vedic life, if someone's not performing Krishna conscious activities, then he performs these subsidiary, you know, activities which are somewhat purifying. But as we said in the last chapter, if they don't have faith in God, and they're just using these as an excuse or a substitute for worshiping God, then these things are actually harmful to their spiritual development. But when they're doing it with the understanding of somehow pleasing God by performing some sacrifices for his demigods or giving food to his living entities or studying his words in the Vedas, then there's some purification. Then it can be helpful. What was it? Look at the previous verse. One who renounces fruits of action is one is called truly renounced. So someone says, well, I don't understand. Work without fruits? How can you work and not get any fruits? And then, you know, they must come anyway. So then you have to do something with the fruits. So how to read? Like this. So when the fruits come, the person who doesn't try to enjoy them, then he doesn't get any reactions. So because fruits always come from any activity, so how will one act when the fruits come? He doesn't try to enjoy them. He may use them in some sacrificial way. Okay? Yes? That mentions the word tyaga and sannyas. And so Arjuna, having a good memory, remembered those, and then he wanted to have them clarified. According to Balaji Vidyabhushan, he is the one who says this. Any more questions? Comments? All right. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.